5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin in verse chapter. We're going to do 5:11 and also 4:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 and also 4:18, please. First Thessalonians 5:11. Let's all stand, please. In many ways, this verse is like the doors in the back. The doors in the back are the end of the auditorium and their beginning of the vestibule area. This verse is a transition verse. It's summarizing what Paul has said about the rapture and the day of the Lord. So it kind of concludes that and then opens the next subject. And the next subject, by the way, will be two big subjects in a church. How do you treat the guys you call pastors? What do you think of these weird people? And how do you deal with people in the church? How do you relate? So this verse is going to be a kind of a door that opens, closes one concept and opens another. Verse 11, we'll read it first. The Apostle Paul, concluding, says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another." You know, together, one another, what we do for one another. And then he just kind of says, and I'm pretty sure you do this, even as also ye do. I'll read just because I want you to understand the Bible is not a collection of religious text. It's the Word of God that addresses our situation. So this immediately leads to how then you deal with what I am, what he is, what he is, what Brian is. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort," and this is a terrible translation in the year 2018, "comfort the feeble-minded." How would you like to be one of those? It doesn't mean feeble-minded in the way, you know, we would use it today. And it goes on to say, "Support the weak, be patient toward all men." And then it steps out one more stage. It says, by the way, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." So really, this verse we're going to read this morning is a conclusion of the book, and he just opens the practical side. I want you to do some things you're already doing. And then I want you to show you how that applies to the leadership in a local church and to the normal people in a local church, and even how we relate to people on the outside that we do not get in the game that is played, hate for hate. Not that that would ever be a thing in America, because we all love and sing kumbaya. Actually, there's more hate in this country than I ever remember in my lifetime. And sadly, Christians are part of it. Now, look back at 1 Thessalonians 4:18, because he's already touched upon this, and I'll touch upon a portion of this verse later. When he says in the end of the section about the rapture, he says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." This morning, I'm going to speak on verse 18 and verse 11. I've entitled this, "Just One Letter." You will not know what that means until we're way into the sermon, but I'm going to talk about and apply this and focus on just sometimes the things we need that make all the difference in our life. It's just one letter. But for many people, they never make that letter. They can never change that letter. Cliff gave the whole sermon away this morning. He didn't know it. He changed a letter. We'll talk about that as we go forward. Father, thank you for this day. May I be a help and a blessing to the folks in this room. This morning, I desire on our obviously beginning of vacation, and anytime we have a big party, our spirits are down, we're worn out, we're exhausted, half the folks didn't make it today. We have a thousand things going through our mind. Lord, today I desire to be a help, an encouragement. And if nothing else, I would like to think that a few people make the change of one letter in their life. Just one. Help me as I speak this morning from these texts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We live with lots of technology. One of my favorite technologies is autocorrect. I just went back to one text. Two or three, 4 weeks ago, I texted Christy about this much about some slides she was going to show. And my autocorrect helped me immensely. I had already told her the pictures, but I thought, well, I will put them there and tell her what I wanted. So this is what I did. I texted her. I don't know what all I said, but I don't think I had my glasses on. By the way, and when you don't have your glasses on and you're old, it's dangerous. You never know what's coming out. I actually knew of two of the mistakes. There was actually three in three lines. I wanted her to show some slides. And I'd given her the pictures or pointed out the pictures to her. And I said, I wanted you to show a picture, first of all, of my great-grandparents, John Levi, and my great-grandmother, Letty, L-E-T-T-I-E, Pearl. That was their names, Letty Pearl and John Levi. So autocorrect, help me. It said John Levi. It liked that, but it didn't get Letty. So my grandmother's name has been forever changed from Letty, L-E-T-T-I-E, to Carrie, K-E-R-R-I. Who would have known? Where did the Carrie come from? I don't know. That wasn't the worst. I wanted her to put the name Garland Kellison. Miss Kellison was the teacher in St. Louis on the school board, wonderful lady, and I wanted her to put Garland Kellison. Well, it got Kellison, but it didn't recognize Garland. So Miss Kellison's name was changed from Garland to Garlic. It's like, where does this auto-correct? No, that's auto-incorrect. And last but not least, Miss Kellison taught in the Rockwood. Is that a word to you, Rockwood? School district. It didn't like Rockwood. It changed it to Rickwood. It's like three lines, and every line it auto-corrected on me. Now that's, by the way, it never happens to you, right? You know, I've learned that you better look it with your glasses at these dumb things. Well, there was a much more serious auto-correction. What I happened to me, I guess Christy knows how to read auto-correct because she got everything correct. But it's not always funny. It cost two men their livelihoods, a massive fine, and nearly cost them their lives. Now, these two men were very good at what they did. They had been in training for years. They were partners. They had been trained through a long apprenticeship and a very difficult one. They had then risen to the top of the craft that they represented. Actually, they were the very top of the craft in England. They were printers. Fact is, they were not only printers, they were the royal printers of England. Robert Barker and Martin Lucas. And they were given, by the way, in England, especially in the past, if you were the royal anything, you had the best job of all. You were the top of everything, and they were the royal printers. They were given the most lucrative contract a printer could have. They were going to reprint the King James Bible. And they did in 1631. Some of you don't know the story. Good. They reprinted the King James Bible. Did you hear what I said about them? They lost their license, their job. They were hugely fined and nearly lost their life. Well, when they reprinted, they did an excellent job. But for some reason, one of the mistakes that people made, they made. They left out one word. It was in a very inopportune place. Exodus 20:14. You know the verse, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Unfortunately, they left out the word "not." So when people got a copy of this Bible, it says, "Thou shalt commit adultery." Now, I will just tell you this. When this was found out, hey, Pastor Warren, it's just one word. Look at me. There are people in this room who will say, "It's just one word." I'm not even asking for a word today. I'm asking for one letter. When they found out, they didn't call them and say, "Let's have some high tea and cookies." Or they don't say cookies, they say biscuits. "Let's have tea and biscuits." They brought them into what was called the Star Chamber, and you didn't get any representation. You didn't get any conversation. You were at the mercy of the king. They could have been killed. They thought they were going to be. Instead, they lost their license, were never able to print again. They were fined a huge sum. I think they were properly humiliated, and they took all of the, they call that the Wicked Bible, and they burned them. By the way, if you just happen to have a Wicked Bible, you could retire today. There are still, they think, around 10 of them in existence that says, "Thou shalt commit adultery." Unfortunately, they didn't make the mistake in Deuteronomy, so it isn't going to help you any. In the other 10 commandments, it says, "Thou shalt not." Just one word. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to get there in a moment, not one word. I'm just interested, look at me, in one letter. If I can have the people in this room, and many already have done this, just change one letter, it will make all the difference in your life and in the life of this church. Just one letter. Let's look at this text again, please. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Paul, at the end of the passage about the rapture, says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." In chapter 5:11, he says pretty much the same thing. But here he's now moving, he's going to state this and then transition how this applies to various audiences, leadership, common membership, and even the outside. He says, "Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." Paul in this passage is somewhat assuming an idea. And this is point number one, that we are, first of all, a member of the body. He uses languages that you can only use if you're part of something. The one another concepts. Comfort one another. You're part of something. You're part of a group, a body. You're a member of a body. And my friend, we go no place in anything I'm going to say until we grasp you must become a, I'm not talking about just signing a piece of paper. You make a transition to you say, "This is my body, my group, my people. It's part, members of a body." That is the one another language. It is not taught as much as assumed. When a person comes to Christ, we are forgiven. We are adopted. We are redeemed. We are justified in God's sight. We receive peace with God and many other blessings. But we also become part of a body, a unit, part of a church, the church universal and also a local church. In this text, we become part of this one another thing, this one-on-one thing, something we do with each other. May I say it? If you're a newer Christian, you already understand this because do you have a body? How many in this room have a body? Is there any part of your body outside of your weight that you would like to get rid of? Yeah, I'd like to lose an ear, a nose. I mean, we're already part of a body. We're part of something. Let me illustrate it from something that happened to me. When I was in the Philippines recently, Dada's family, one of the daughters, finds me a place to stay. She found me, I can't remember what they call those, condominium? Maybe condo. She found me a condo. Don't get excited. A condo is smaller than my office. She found me a condo. It was fine. Had a bed. That's all I need is about three things. Good shower, a bed that I can sleep on that's reasonably long enough, and air conditioning. It had all of those. So I'm in the condo, and I'm weird because at nighttime you might have to go to the restroom, and I don't like to walk in the middle of the night in places I don't know. So when I'm by myself, I just leave the lights on. You say, can you sleep with lights on? I can sleep any place. Leave the lights on. So one night I was there, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had to go use the restroom. So I get out of the bed, and I walk down towards the restroom. And in the middle of the little bitty place, they had a small little sitting area, was a table. And it was, I can tell you exactly how high it was. It was about that high. A little less than my knee, and it was a glass-top table. And I'm, you're three-quarters asleep, and you don't want to wake all the way up, so I get out of bed. I'm walking towards the restroom, and it's like this, and I walk around. Everything is good. I'm stumbling around, and I don't know about you, but I only like to open one eye when I'm... I keep this eye closed, because if I keep this one closed, I can go right back to sleep. So I got one eye partially open, and I'm walking around, and I make it past, and then I turn towards the restroom, and I catch, right here, my leg on the edge, the corner, where it comes together of that glass table. And it scratches me. And my first words out of my mouth was, ouch! I reached down, felt okay, no blood, walked in, took care of my business. After that, I walked back, I looked at my leg, no blood. I thought, I must just scratch my leg, no big deal. Went back to bed. Woke up the next morning, everything's fine. About 3 days later, I thought, man, my leg is hurting. Why does my leg hurt so much? I looked down at my leg, and it was hugely inflamed. And I'm like, how did my leg get inflamed? There was a line about that long on my leg, and I'm like, I didn't even bleed. Here's what I didn't know. That glass table did not scratch me, it cut me. So normally if you have a little scratch, you just have a little flap of skin and it just sticks right back together. It cut me so deep, like this. The reason it didn't bleed is it flapped back shut. But normally your skin, anybody that's a nurse knows this, it heals better from this way. Yes? This one was healing from the outside in. You know, I still have a scar there from one stupid thing in the middle of the night. You say, Pastor Warren, it's just your calf. Who cares about my calf? I care about my calf. Have you ever noticed, can I ask you a serious question? Listen. If you're part of the body, have you ever noticed how much you rejoice when our kids do well? Wait a minute. Have you ever noticed how much it hurts when one of them are stupid? Welcome to the body. You're a member of the body. It's the same with this body. Why is it, folks, if you get a little thing hanging on your finger, no matter what you do, you put your fingers in your, ouch! You scratch your, ouch! Wherever you get hurt, your whole body is affected. Is that right? May I say this? God intended for your body to function that way, and He intended for us to function that way. So Friday night, many of you here, Atong said, I was rejoicing so much I had a hard time speaking. I looked at all these young people. They're not perfect. I know Brenna's not perfect. But she's close. I can't imagine the twins not being perfect, but they're probably not. Jenny Lynn, you say no, but I don't believe you. By the way, I rejoice. Why? Because they're part of us. Now you say, Pastor Warren, what in the world are you even getting at? Let me just read this, and I think then I'll get down to one letter. You see, when you get saved, you're already part of this body, whether you want to be or not. When one of us hurts, all of us hurts. When one of us loses, all of us lose. When one of us sorrows, all of us sorrow. When one of us succeeds, all of us succeed. When one of us falls, we all fall in some way. When one of us flourishes, we all flourish. When one of us laughs, we all laugh. When one of us cries, we all cry. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. When one of us struggles, we all struggle. You've heard this statement, we're in it to win it, and I have no problem with that, but I think it's better saying it this way, we're in it together to win it. We're a body, and we're members of a body. That is essential. Now you say, what do you want to change this morning? Cliff already gave away the first point of my sermon, but you weren't listening. We can say it two different ways. Are you ready? I would like to change. Ann, I think, is she already gone? She might already be going to Vietnam. When Ann teaches W's, that's a what turned upside down. I would like you to turn one letter upside down in your heart. Are you ready? I'd like you to change from a me. From a me to a. Let's try it again. I'd like you to change from a me. You know, some people never change from a me to a we. Now, many people in this room have. You say, Cliff didn't say that. Yes, he did. You weren't listening. It's a different letter. When a person is not part of us, this is what they say. I like your church. What did Cliff say? Our church. My friend, if you change from a me, an M to a W, everything in your life changes for the better. All of a sudden, you understand church. Understand what Christianity is. But if you stay on the me side of things, this is not a negative to anybody. My buddy Frenchie said something to me this morning. Now, Frenchie is a good guy. He's learned from his wife to serve and his daughter. It's not natural for Frenchie. He said something about something today, and only he and I know, and don't open your mouth. He said something about a family that are thinking, Frenchie, the woman has been here for a decade or longer and has never said we. Has never said our. Do you understand that, Frenchie? And as long as your life is about me, your life is not functioning properly. So let me just say this. When Carly does well next year in college, guess who else does well? When Brenna does well in college, guess who else does well? When the twins do well in college, guess who else does well? Folks, we either succeed together or we fail together. When my favorite, Bienemy, and we know it ain't Nancy, that's for sure. When Cassie graduated with her degree in nursing, we rejoice. When she passed the board. Now, you failed the first time. And she was pretty convinced she was never going to pass the boards. Yes? Did anybody get excited when you passed? Why? Because you're part of us. My friend, just one letter. Now, it's not one word. I'm not even asking for a word. Please don't take the word not out of thou shalt not commit adultery. Not a good idea. I'm just asking for an M to be flipped upside down and become a we. From a me to a we. You're not going to understand this passage What I'm preaching this morning, and I'm going to say some things practical in a moment that you will like, but they're not going to help you. They're not going to mean anything. Look at me, because you're still on the outside thinking about me. The moment you become part of we, then all of a sudden this stuff makes great sense. Great sense. Just one letter. Cliffy got it right. It's our church. It's not your church, whoever your is. It's not me, it's we. Well, we move on to the second point. Look back at 1 Thessalonians 4:18. And I really want to help everyone with this, because this can be kind of a messy mess. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, the King James says this, "Wherefore comfort one another." Comfort one another. So we got the one another part, and he actually uses, he also will get back to with these words in a moment. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:11, again he uses that language, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. So once we become a member of the body, when we transition, if I can use the analogy opposite of this, from me to we, we transition from your church and your problems and your difficulties to our problems and our people and our successes. Once you do that, you can then step up a level. I call this this, number two. Not only a member of the body, you can become a mentor of the body. You can start having positive impact in the body, the local body of Christ and even the global body of Christ. But you can start doing something, because now it's you. It's your body. It's not somebody else's problems. So, comfort. Now, before I go there, many people, the moment you talk about this, get nervous. Because they think, oh my goodness, if I look at me, I'm not talking about joining a church. You can join this church 14 times. I'm talking about something that happens inside. The moment you become a member, meaning this is your church, then you can start being a mentor. But some of us get nervous about that idea, because it's like, ew, does that mean people can come up to me and say, I don't like how you comb your hair? And my answer is, if you think that's Christianity, please join another church. I've been around Christians like that. They walk up to people and say, you know, your hair's not parted correctly. Folks, I'm just hoping the time I die, I still have enough hair to part. Who cares about what side it's on? I'm not talking about minding people's business and getting in people's business. Actually, the text tells us exactly what it's talking about. This isn't being nosy. This isn't meaning get in the messiness of people's lives. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean then? I'm glad you ask. Please, look with me again, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Look at, read it with me. When I say become a mentor, I'm telling you to do what this text says, exactly what it says. Comfort one another with these words. There are two ideas. The first idea is comfort. Now, we might not use that exact word. Look at me. Parakaleo, paraklesis, is the word found in John 14 for the comforter. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, doesn't just comfort us. That is a broader word. It means sometimes you come alongside and hug and comfort someone. Sometimes you come alongside and say, hey, let's go forward. You encourage someone. Sometimes you come on the other side, hey, let's get with it. You exhort someone. So it's the broader idea of you encourage people, you exhort people, you comfort people, you come alongside and do those things necessary to mentor them forward. So Paul isn't talking about getting in each other's business. This isn't where we all have to wear, look at me, have you been to one of those, some of you don't have a clue what I'm going to talk about. Go to your first independent Baptist church where everybody wears cowboy boots. In Chicago. I've been to them. And you're like, you know, none of you own a horse, do you? You don't know what that is. It's a cultural thing. And by the way, if you don't dress like that, you kind of look down on. No, this is not Christianity. Christianity is, once you become, this becomes our as opposed to yours, it becomes a we as opposed to a me, you're a member of this, then you step alongside and you say, I can now start mentoring, meaning encouraging, assisting, comforting, exhorting, admonishing, doing things to propel people forward. But you say, Pastor, how can I do that? I'm glad you ask. He tells you. Look at verse 18. This isn't religion, folks. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with what? Friend, it's this simple. You don't have to have a PhD in theology. Let me ask you a question. Has something helped you? So here you are. You've been saved by God's grace. You have now become a member, and I'm not talking about just on a piece of paper, of a church, this church. Things have helped you. You have learned things that have encouraged you, blessed you, strengthened you, given you direction. Whatever that is, we exhort people, comfort them, admonish them, strengthen them with these words. How about this? Whatever's helped you, share it with other people. That's it. Is that hard? Whatever it is. My goodness, friend, it seems to me whatever God brings us through, we just share with other people. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So you say, to be a mentor is this simple. You become the person who says, now this is my. It's we. It's my church or our church. It's no longer your church, and it's no longer about me. Once you become a member, one another, then you're able to become a mentor. You can start taking whatever you have learned in whatever situation, and you can come alongside, and you can help people with these words. Folks, it's taught in many places. We'll just look at this one, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Great verse for us to memorize. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all, it's that word again, comfort, encouragement, exhortation, has lots of nuance. Folks, it almost gets boring repeating the same parakaleo or paraklesis constantly. He says, what does God do in verse 4? Who comforteth us? He encourages us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. He exhorts us in all of our tribulation that we may be able to do what? What? To do exactly what God has done for us with what we have learned to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort. Same word again. Wherewith we ourselves are comforted. Same words again of God. My friend, it's not a difficult thing. It's this simple. Wait a minute. There are people in this room that have never witnessed anybody in their whole life. Now, if you've never witnessed anybody, either you are a very immature Christian or you're not a Christian. Because fundamentally, witnessing is not about guilt. Oh, I got to do this. Has God saved you? Has he delivered you from ultimate hell and destruction? Yes or no? And you don't want to, don't tell anybody. How could you not? Friend, this old man over here, Atong, he's very old. Today I saw him looking like he was... How many years ago was it? He went to a restaurant. I don't know how you got there. It's a place called Fitzgerald's. Terrible place. You do not want to go there. You won't like it. The food's bad. It's way out in Genoa City. You say, what do they cook out there? It is the best fish boil you ever put your mouth around. He told us. He told me, and my first response was, I don't want to go to that. How many times have you been there? I've been there more than you since then, Atong. Many more times. By the way, on Mother's Day, I refused to allow to go there, but I made up for it. The next week, the Halls and I went, and Jenny. But may I say this? When you hear about, have you, by the way, how many of you have not been there? I love all of you. Don't go. The food's bad. And definitely don't get the ribs. They're bad too. My friends, you hear something good. What's the natural thing? You want to share it with people. How about this? How many of you have children? Children are easy, aren't they? You know where you learn about child rearing from? The best source? The best source is you learn about child rearing from people that have been through the same experiences, and they can say, here are some things that we did. They can't tell you every little detail. Some people aren't able to articulate it well. Some people say you just need to pray, and I got all that. But frankly, anything I ever teach are things we tried to do. Now, don't come to me and ask how to change diapers. I don't know. You say, why not? Look at me. I'm an expert on changing diapers. Here, honey. I don't know if I ever changed. I do know I never changed my daughter's diapers. I was a bad father. I think I changed John's diaper once. You know, it said 18 pounds. And I let it fill up to 18 pounds. That's bad. That's so bad. You say, you weren't a good father. I never said I was a good father for little children. I'm not a good father for big children, but I know the mistakes I made. Look at me, friend. Look at me. Once you become a member, how do you help people? Martin Luther, 500 years ago, said, if you want to be a great theologian, you need three things. He said, number one, you need oratio, prayer. Number two, meditatio, meditation. And number three, temptatio, temptation, meaning, do you know where you learn things at? During the trials of life. Anything that God has taught you, man, you can come alongside and encourage people. We got young people going to college. Have you been to college? Do you know the temptations they're going to face, yes or no? You can come alongside and talk to them. We have young people maybe going into the military. We got lots of military guys that need to come alongside and say, you know, you need to get in. Listen, I can tell you real simple advice. You say, how did you learn it? In the military. In the temptatio, the temptation. First thing I learned is, you move to a new base, you don't miss one single week of church. First week, you're in church. You know why? When you're in the military and you're by yourself, it's either sink or die. You don't have this pleasure of playing around. And I can tell you what, on my life, my friends, when I moved from Bethesda Naval Hospital to Great Lakes, I promised God before I moved, I wouldn't miss one single week. When I got here the second or third week of December on a Saturday, it promptly snowed a foot. And on Sunday morning, I was in this church when it was new. And you say, were people here? Not very many. There was a foot of snow in the parking lot. I couldn't even figure out how to get in the place. This building was here but not open. You had to walk back through paths, and it was a disaster. But look at me. I know how to survive the military because I went through that temptation. You say, Pastor Warren, what are you getting at? It starts with this. There's got to be a change of one letter. Look at me. You can say it, but you've got to stop thinking me, me, me. And start thinking. Once you do that, then this is your body. Then you can start. It's not philosophical. It's not difficult. You can come alongside someone and encourage, pray for them, give them examples. You don't even have to preach. You can just talk about what you experienced. Of course, it's that simple. We encourage, we comfort, we exhort, we admonish, we help, we assist, and we do so with the words and truths we ourselves have learned. Over here on this side of the church, Lord this. I don't think it was Lord this and Dave that found out. It might have been your daughter. Years ago, they told me about a place to eat called Papa Marco's. Don't go there. The food's terrible. Please. Missionaries come here. I don't ask them, would you like to go to McDonald's? I say, you got three options. We can go to the Indian restaurant. We can go to Papa Marcos or we go to a good Mexican restaurant. You're not coming to Waukegan and going to a... Is McDonald's American? What is it? And we're definitely not going to Taco Bell, which is neither Mexican nor food. I remember taking one of our missionaries to Papa Marcos. This was his statement after we got done. He actually texted me later. Says, Pastor Warren, I really enjoyed spending time with you. Please don't take me back to that place. Listen, if you go there, I'm going to introduce you to all the weird stuff they have. I'm going to introduce you to grape leaves. If you haven't had her grape leaves, you don't know eating yet. It's like going to the Philippines and having, no joke, American missionaries go to the Philippines and they eat at Chili's. I don't eat at Chili's here. When I was in the Philippines last time and I was preaching at the conference, right by the hotel I stayed at, there was a restaurant, a Turo Turo restaurant. You say, I don't know what that means. I do. Point, point. And I went in and pointed, pointed. And you say, what did you have? McDonald's. Oh, please. Friend, here it is. I'm going to move to the last point. It's time for some of us. Look at me. Look at me. I'm not mad at anybody. This is totally positive. But some of us think to be a member means I got to be in everybody's business. No, you just need to be part of the body. And once you're part of the body, what happens to Carly happens to you. And then you can say, what God has been teaching me, I can come along. You don't need to teach Carly much. You can probably teach most of us. But you can come along and encourage, exhort, talk about things she might face in college, what she might, you know, and then you can be a blessing. You can be a mentor. There's a last concept. Look, if you would, back to verse 11 of chapter 5. Last concept. We are a member of the body. We make the transition from me to we, from your church to our church. We then become a mentor of the body. We start encouraging, comforting, exhorting, helping, assisting. And you do so not with some magic. You do so with what you... Stop. Have you learned anything in your Christian life? Well, if you have, that will help other people too. That's it. How do you pray? How do you read the Bible? How do you meditate? All of those things you can share with others, and you can do it naturally. Number three, the third level is becoming a builder of the body. This is a little higher level. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Paul says, comfort yourselves together. That's that mentoring, encouraging, challenging. But then he also says, and edify one another. I like the word edify. Please look at me, but I'm not going to use it this morning. Because if you have been in church any length of time, if I say you need to edify somebody, your response is this. If you were a Greek-speaking person and you heard the Apostle Paul come in and use the Greek word for edify, you had no spiritual notion of what that means. Because that word doesn't mean spiritual anything. It actually means, look at me. Go build a house. It means to build something. It comes from the building world. So once you become a member, you switch from me to we, from yours to ours. Then you can become a mentor and start encouraging people with the words and truths you have learned. And eventually you can start, look at me, you can start doing some building. You can start building into people's lives. You can start investing in people's lives and think of a building. Look at me. Think of building. If I walk up to you and I look at this guy right over here, Dada, you all know him. Who talks the most, Pandak or Dada? Answer the question. How many? Is it 10 to 1? 20 to 1? 20 to 1. By the way, I love Pandak. I'm not picking on her. She talks more than he does. He doesn't say anything. Oh, he does. In every place I look, hey, I see people. No, I see buildings. Because he's not only mentoring people, he's doing some building. And what I'd like from some of you is for you to get part of this church. Look at me, I'm not asking you to come 12 nights a week, none of that foolishness. That's not even what this is about. This is about quit talking about me, start talking about we, start mentoring people, and lastly, look at me, just start building. We have guys in seminary right now. Brian Steinbach is in seminary. Why? Because we're trying to build another leader. Cliff is in seminary. Why? We're trying to build another leader. We got more space. You interested? We'll raise money for you to go. You don't even have to leave home if you don't want to. They do it by, you can do a live classroom of what they call virtual classroom right here. You can be part of the classroom. Look at me, friend. This church is interested in people not only surviving, I'm interested in building some leadership. I'm not going to be here forever. You say, how long do you plan to be here? Until I die. I figure one day I come up here, I'll die here on the platform. Pastor Kowak will be so old he can't even get rid of me. We'll have to get younger people to carry me out. You say, is that going to happen? Probably. But I'm interested as long as I'm here. Let me ask you, what are you interested in? You see these three guys and this young lady. What do you want for those three guys? By the way, I want them to serve the Lord in whatever God calls them to do. Here is exactly what I want. William Perkins. We serve God in the serving of mankind in our particular callings. But guys, as long as you're part of this place, I'm going to encourage you. I want other people to be those mentors, and I would like to build something into your life. I don't care if you're ever a pastor. It doesn't make me a bit of difference. What are you interested in? Well, here it is. It all comes down from Frenchie to everybody else to changing one letter. People that struggle always talk about me. People that start being mentoring talk about we and us. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Isn't it time some of us change a letter? Just one letter. Let's pray. Father, it is a